Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with my Preservative Talk Radio. It's a Faith and Freedom show. I'm going to engage the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis right versus wrong. Go to Preservative Talk Radio and talk and find out more. Go to faithfreedoms.org. Well, either way, you can go to preservativetalkradio.com. We've probably got a link there. If we don't, I'll check and try to fix it. The number here, by the way, is 888-248-2046. I'll say that again in a second. I want you, if you're a pastor, if you're a church member, you're a deacon, you're an elder, you're a whatever, priest, I don't know, just your generic clergyman, danger, danger, danger. I'm going to say something that's going to challenge you. And if you object, I encourage you to call, get ready, 888, it's toll free, my dime, 248-2046, 248-2046. I'm going to challenge you here, and it's going to be a challenge of hypocrisy, and if you think I'm wrong, you can call me. And it's kind of a question of the church, the role of church, politics, obeying the law or not obeying the law. What's your status if you are a law violator or somebody will not obey the ordinance of men? What is the true biblical principle? What is the American principle? What is a constitutional concept? What did the founders think? What did they think it was your responsibility as claiming the name of Christ with regard to whether you're supposed to obey a law? It's a question. And so here's one of the things I pose to you. Number is 888-248-2046. If you have Sunday morning services around the 4th of July, where suddenly we kind of lose the distinction of who it is we're worshiping here, that the object of our confession is a flag or a country or a land, where we have it suddenly becomes, it has a personality. We break that little threshold between maybe a celebration and then I hate saying this, but ouch. Do we sometimes participate in, I think, unlawful idolatry? Well, let's just say you don't. Let's just say, and the reason I'm trying to say this to provoke you, really, provoke my listeners. And the broadcast area, the people are very American, very God-fearing. So I'm very deliberately kind of prodding you right now. If we, and I'll add me to the group, if we celebrate on a Sunday morning service somewhere near Independence Day, we celebrate the country and effectively celebrating a rebellion. If we celebrate that rebellion and you're not willing to violate a ordinance of men, you're in just bold-faced hypocrisy. And I say you have a duty in law and biblically to violate ordinances of men. If you disagree, you can give me a call, toll free, 888-248-2046. Now you better know your stuff. So I hope I've provoked people. Not to hate me, maybe to get angry, but now I want to tell you and explain something, the context of this. I was at a bank today, and I was actually getting into an automobile, and I was thinking about just this idea of what happens when somebody who's committed to a life of what in historic law in the time of the founding of the nation would be, say, a vow of poverty, somebody who was clergy, somebody who has dedicated their life to following King Jesus, shucking off them all the benefits of society and the commonwealth of, say, Tennessee. In other words, you're not going to pay the tax, but you're not going to get the welfare benefit or whatever the, I don't know, I'm just trying to use those things as an example. You're separate. But what influence do you have? Are you completely, as I talked in the Latin in the foundation of this country, they call it civiliter mortis. Are you completely dead to society? Or as a man, as a natural man, still living and breathing, what's that relationship with obeying Caesar. Render unto Caesar's the things that are Caesar's. Render unto the things that are God's. Now, what about Romans chapter 13, where it says to submit to the authorities, knowing that they're ministers of God for our good? How do you reconcile it? Now, what if there's an ordinance of men that is ultimately you realize, wait a minute, I'll give you the example, that it doesn't hold with the Constitution of the United States. What do you do if there's an ordinance of men, whether it be a bureaucratic rule, a department of the government activity, or even a very act of Congress, that as you review the Constitution and you review the statute, and you say, by your own reason and understanding, considering the word of God, everything, the law of the land, the history of law, the whole Constitution, whatever, the right and wrong of it, whatever, the balance of equity. What if you think all those things, you go, wait a minute, that ordinance, that positive law violates a higher law, the Constitution. Do you disobey the lower law? Do you boldly, notoriously, publicly, giving full notice, violate the law? Or is that an appearance of evil that you must abstain from? I will say that we have a tendency to say in our Christian rhetoric that we're supposed to just obey the ordinances of men. It doesn't say ordinances in that Romans 13. It says the authority. There's a difference. This exousia in the Greek is not merely an edict of some bureaucrat. It is an authority, the word authority. And in American law, the authority is God, nature, the Constitution, fundamental law. Anything that goes contrary to that isn't law. It isn't. They could call it law. They can call it anything they like. But if it violates those fundamental and higher edicts, fixed, invariable principles and rules of the sovereign creator of the universe, it isn't law. It's indeed a violation of law. What do? We have a tendency to say, well, just obey it so you don't have an appearance of evil. That sounds very notable, but I would say keep in mind Romans 21:8, of all the people are going to have a little part in lake which burns with fire, the first one on the list is cowards. I should say are cowards. The first one's on the list. How do we reconcile this? If there's an edict of men that goes contrary to the Constitution, do you obey the edict and partner with those who are lawless? Or do you notoriously, boldly, confidently, lovingly, and openly stand against it? As I say that, I just remember Martin Luther King Jr.'s writing to some pastors when he was in a Birmingham jail. And one of the things he said, I wish I'd thought about this before I started broadcasting. I'll probably get it at the break and I can quote it. He says, you do it, when you see something like this, it was his opinion, that you supposedly violate that ordinance openly and lovingly, notwithstanding the consequences, notwithstanding the accusations from those who are well-meaning that say, hey, you are evidencing an appearance of evil. That's what we tend to say. But in truth, I say Martin Luther King Jr. had it figured out. And you know what? The more I study law and government, you know what I discovered in American law? We have an obligation to stand against the ordinance of men when it violates the Constitution. I'll give you an example. Back in Chicago, actually recently, we had Heller versus the District of Columbia, big gun rights case, Second Amendment case. The history of that going back, if you knew some of the previous cases, there was one in Chicago where there was an ordinance that prohibited the carrying of firearms, or actually the owning of firearms. And a guy sued. He went to a court and he sued and said, their ordinance is against the law. I want to file an injunction. The court said, I'm going to tell you in you know, layman's terms here. The court said, you have no standing in this court. You're not showing any damage. You're not. There's no evidence here that somebody's actually going to enforce the crime or the criminal penalty against you if you carry a gun. Isn't that weird? The court was admonishing the complainant to violate the law. And if you violate the ordinance of men, since the Constitution protects your right, as far as you believe, it's very possible the policeman who has an oath to the Constitution will not enforce the ordinance of man, the smaller authority that is in violation of the higher authority. The policeman with an oath before God to uphold the Constitution may agree with you and say, you know what, you are right. You have an inalienable right that society cannot force you to give up. When you enter the state of society, that is a law that will never go away. The society, just because you've even joined it, they can't take that right from you. I agree with you as a policeman. Let us both do our duty to the higher authority and not partner with this under the color of authority ordinance of men. So the point here is, I'm challenging the listener that it's time to wake up, be willing to do the right thing, and willing to be educated in these things so you know what is right and wrong as far as the authority of law, government, your duties, not just, I know my rights, I claim my rights. Skip your rights. What it is it's a right thing that needs to be protected. And it's not just for you. It's for the weaker person who's going to come after you, who doesn't have the fortitude to stand against the oppression. Blackstone said that the purpose of government was to protect the meanest individual from the insults and injuries of the stronger. And what he meant by meanest was not like mean Mr. Scrooge. It means, in English language, the littlest person. The object of government is to protect the, and this is what the founders were reading at the time, the interest of government is to protect the weakest individual from the insults, injuries, and oppression of the stronger. That takes courage. It takes fortitude. It takes faith. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. It takes a firm reliance on who the master of the universe is. It's King Jesus. All authority has been given unto him. And we've got to be able to lovingly and openly and notoriously, even as Martin Luther King Jr. in so many words said, stand, even to the point of appearing as if you're violating the law, willing to stand. And the example I had today as I was sitting, I mean, it's weird. You walk out of a bank, you walk into your car, and these things start popping in your head. And I remembered something I read in Ezra the other day. And this particular thing, I thought, all of a sudden I realized, hey, you know what? I think in Ezra, they actually, because I was thinking about this thing, what's our role's responsibility? Do we just suck it up and take it on the chin? What do we do? It turns out this group in Jerusalem actually boldly, lovingly, openly, notoriously violated the ordinance of men that was unlawful. It was under the color of law that was telling them to stop building the temple. And they boldly went to it, even though somebody had talked to Artaxerxes for a moral imperative because of fear of what might happen if you let these guys build a temple. Artaxerxes issued a decree that violated a higher law of King Cyrus. So he issued this decree, and the Jews of the day and the Benjamites notoriously, openly, lovingly continued to work on the temple, notwithstanding that ordinance. And they told the king, by the way, we're doing it. This is who we are, and this is why we're doing it. Please search in your records. There's a higher law. We're obeying a higher law. And thank you, you know, King Artaxerxes made this edict here, but it violates the higher law. And we're accountable to the creator of heaven and earth. And you know what? Turned out they were right. They were blessed. This is crazy stuff, folks, but it's deep stuff. It's deep stuff. It's important things. You claim the name of Jesus and you're walking rightly. But be careful in how you think about your civic duty, whether you're clergy and completely immune from this stuff or not. David Allen Carmichael, Faith and Freedom Show. It's Preservative Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Give us a call, 888-248-2046.